Yes, sir. This is the King Me Podcast, and I'm your host, Brandon. And guess what, y'all? We got two new guests, Mama Cherry and Aunt Lisa. Listen, they real old school, you know what I'm saying? And they're going to bring some knowledge. Last episode, we talked about the baby boomers and the millennials. And so we're going to pick back up on that. I guess we go ahead and get started, man. Y'all want to introduce yourself? I already did that. Mama Cherry, you focus?
I'm focused.
well, make sure you on talking that mic.
Yeah, I'm focused.
Yeah. I mean, you can pull it up close to it if you want to. Yeah.
Gotcha.
Yeah. Yeah, so last week, we talked about on the last episode, me and my co-host, Q, we talked about the baby boomers and the millennials and some of the difference. And now I was on the baby boomer side. He was representing the millennial, even though I am a millennial, but he was representing them and I was representing the baby boomer. I was just telling him the difference, you know what I'm saying, in y'all mindsets and everything. I think, you know, we had some conversation on the phone concerning that too. So I guess I'll start off with the first question, man. I want y'all to be yourself. I want y'all to keep it 100 and just, you know, be yourself. But how was family back in the day? Like, and I guess y'all can go in detail. Mama Cherry, you wanna talk about like what family was and, you know, go back in the day?
Well, family, as I was coming up, family was close. You can expect to have some Sunday dinner at grandma's house, where you get to see all your cousins, aunts and uncle. Even though, you know, with the family getting together, it was a lot of respect, you know, for the elderly. When I was coming up, right now you see young kids nowadays, they use some disrespectful words in front of their elderly. And it comes out of their mouth just like it's normal. Right. And we always been brought up, you know, respect would take you farther than money. And to this day, I still believe that. Sometimes, you know, just being honest, respectful towards people, going in front of a judge, you know, you may, you know, show some respect instead of being maybe with this here bad boy or bad girl attitude, where it end up causing you a sentence, when they probably can see through, you know, that there's some good in you where you show respect, that, you know, you might get a lot of sentence or maybe, you know, you'll get another chance. I feel like my husband experienced that, you know, as when he was young, got in trouble, and he stood before the judge and he showed respect, and he could have lost his rank in the military, but we was out of South Carolina when all this went down, and by him showing respect, I truly believe that judge looked at him and gave him a chance, end up ordering him to take classes, you know, instead of being behind bars. So today, I look at the young people today, mm-hmm. you know, they smart, very intelligent, you know. It's just, you know, lack of respect, ungrateful. You know, they walk around here like someone owed them something.
They entitled them.
Yes. And that's, it's terrible. It's terrible. You know, they don't take in consideration of like jobs. You will see him show up to a job interview, job fair, with pajamas on, a bonnet on the head. And they don't want to listen. If you try to tell them, you know, it seems like they know it all. You know, so.
Well, you just said a whole lot, yeah, just a few minutes ago. Lisa, how you feel? How was family for you when you were growing up?
I'm going to agree with Barbara
right.
on a lot of the stuff that she said. Being that I was raised 13 brothers and sisters.
You had 13 brothers and sisters?
I'm 13.
So you the baby?
I'm the baby.
Boy, how was that growing up, like having all the siblings?
There was a lot of us. We shared clothes, you know.
Right.
And all the good stuff. You know, my mom couldn't afford to buy maybe two bikes, and we would share the two bikes.
So y'all learned how to share
amongst
each other.
That's right. That's right. We had to do it that way. In my household, my mom cooked on Sunday, and she always cooked a big meal so that everybody could come together and enjoy one another. I'm used to having five meats at dinner on Sunday.
Five meats?
Five different meats, rice, gravy, two or three different kind of vegetables. I mean, she did it all. She may bake three or four cakes.
That's all on Sunday?
That's for Sunday's dinner.
Mm.
And we had people to come through from the neighborhood to come eat because she had so much food. And that's how I was brought up, and I think that's why I cook so much when I do cook. I'm used to that. I also, too, would like to throw in there, you know, I was living with a mother and a father. You know, some people never experienced two-parent
right.
household.
Right.
But I had that. But I will also say, too, that even though my father lived there, he wasn't there emotionally. But I had a two-parent household.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't mean to cut you off. When you said he wasn't there emotionally, is it because he was working a whole lot, or it was just?
No, okay. It was more of a mental thing.
Okay, I got you.
He was an alcoholic, and he was in the service. He never got over.
Right.
There was a lot of, you know, mental illness going on there with him. I mean, he was a good dad when he could be, but there was a lot of mental issues going on in the household. But there was, like I said, there was a lot of it.
Right.
And once, like my older siblings reached a certain age, they left. You know, back then, turning 15 and 16, you can leave.
Man, I remember when you when you was talking about my great uncles and stuff like that. A lot of them, when they got a certain age, they end up leaving.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Man, not to cut you off,
mm-hmm.
Anissa. It's just I just realized the mentality as young men doing in them back in them days, like when they turned 15, 16, they just up and left, man. Mm-hmm.
That's right. What they did.
And start their own family at a young age.
That's right. Yeah. That's what it did. Yeah. And I would like to throw in there too, being that from a big family, the way we survived, my mom, she didn't work. She was a homemaker. And my dad, we had stuff like chickens and hogs and cows and stuff. And that's how we ate, okay?
Y'all ate off the land.
Off the land. Kids these days don't know what that means. They don't know what it means to go slop a hog. You see what I'm saying? They don't know what it feels like to go out to the chicken coop and get the eggs from the chickens. They never experienced it. Because, see, what they're doing is going to the grocery store getting this stuff. They're not grounded in that life because it wasn't talked to them.
Right.
And I think that it would be a great idea to start something where kids can get the experience. Start a farm somewhere and let these young folks go there. and experience what it's like to milk a cow. You know what I'm saying?
I ain't gonna lie, I ain't never met no cow before.
But you need to learn how to do it.
It seems like it'll feel funny, like grabbing the little cow nipples and just squeezing it.
and you're pulling while you're squeezing, you know, and that's some of the sweetest milk you will ever taste. And, you know, of course, once you milk a cow, you got the, Bobby, what you call the little cloth you put over the jar to pour the milk into so it would catch.
Yes,
fat
churn.
Part of the milk.
Churn.
Yeah.
Yeah, it'll catch the fat that's coming out of the milk.
Yeah.
And that you would throw that away.
Some people use that. I seen on TikTok, some people use that for like cheese, cottage cheese.
Yeah, I've seen it done. My mom never did it.
Right.
My aunts, I think they did.
So you had to put the milk, milk over a cloth mm-hmm. and
strain it.
And just strain it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and let the milk fall into the jar. But that's some of the sweetest milk. Just like a chicken out the yard. Totally different than a chicken in the store. Because nothing has been added to that chicken. You know?
Right.
So when you wring that chicken neck, and I can talk because I remember them days. Wringing a chicken neck, plucking the feathers, dropping it into the hot water to clean it really good. That's the sweetest chicken. It has a sweet taste, like sugar was poured into it. Barbara, can you agree with that?
I can agree with it.
It has a sweetness to it. It's mm-hmm. totally different than going to the store buying chicken that, you know.
Right.
And it was those little things been added to it to make it different. Have that funny taste.
Mm-hmm. Come on, steroids.
Steroids and all that, yeah. But chickens off the yard is totally different. But, yeah, we lived a good life back in those days.
Yeah.
We had gardens, you know. We just ate off the land, you know. Kids outside and, you know, playing basketball and just running around the house, just having a good time. Making mud pies, the girls making mud pies.
No, I can remember the mud pies.
We weren't on all this technology because we didn't have it.
Right.
My mom taught us how to run a household.
Mm-hmm.
So.
That's totally different. So, me and Q was talking about this, man, on the last episode. The difference is, it's something you said that he mentioned, like, for instance, you know, your mom's didn't work.
Right.
And so he was talking about the economy, right? Like, the economy right now, can't, you know, it almost like you need two people working.
Right.
To really survive in this mm-hmm. economy that we in. And I pushed back on it a little bit, right? Because I truthfully, in my opinion, I think we can survive off one income, but it will look a lot different. Most of the time people wanna do certain things and you still can take trips, but it might not be the trip you know what I'm saying, like you really want to. But I want to touch bases on some stuff because I said on my last episode that y'all generation was built for tough times and y'all know how to survive during tough times versus, you know what I'm saying, the millennials. Yeah. Like right now we having a hard time surviving went through a whole lot, and also y'all went through a lot too because y'all experienced it. But I want y'all to talk about how back in the day y'all survived off, you know what I'm saying, tough times. Mama Cherry, you want to start? Because I remember, I'm going to tell this short story. I remember, like grandma, for instance, she, when it thundered and lightened, and man, she used to make us sit in one room, cut all the lights off, all everything off, and say, God at work. Better not talk. It almost like if you would have said something why it was thunder and lightning outside, man, it almost like it was a punishment. I can remember stuff like that, man. But
that happened in my household too. We weren't allowed to talk. Everything had to be turned off, and we would sit in the hallway and wait for the storm to be over.
Mm-hmm.
And we couldn't move, and we better not say anything. You know, so I think back in those days, that's what a lot of parents did because that's what was taught to them.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
You know, and you, Brandon, you remember that because of your mom.
Right, right.
You know, I remember because of my mom, and I went through it. I lived through that life. Yeah. You know, she just didn't believe in that. She didn't believe in talking while God was doing his work, is what she said. God is doing his work.
Right.
You be quiet.
Quiet, yeah.
And allow him to do his work.
Yeah.
So if we actually look at today, it thunder and lightning. Everything still goes on as
TV
normal.
Still on.
Yeah, TV still on. That's right.
Radio. Mm-hmm. You know, and let's allow thunder come. Yeah. May scare them or something like that, and they may drop the phone or maybe cut the TV off. But right now is what we see. We don't see what you would call it. We don't see the young folks, and I include myself too, because at this point I don't turn off the TV. I don't, you know, I may have my phone, and I'm one of the people also, if a loud thunder will come, I may put my phone down. But the stuff that I grew up with, I don't do it. You know, I don't follow along with it no more. Right. So,
and I think that's what, like, technology done in so many different ways. They, like, some of the old, I would call them ritual, the old things that was taught growing up. I think, you know, as we kind of evolve and as technology evolves us, we kind of left some of that stuff, you know, along with the, you know, in the past. So how you know, grandma and them did back in the day, you know what I'm saying? Like, you know, your generation stopped practicing some stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, as your kids, you know, had kids and grow up, like some of the things they probably recognize and seen through grandma. But like, and I think, you know, same thing with me and my kids, you know what I'm saying? Some things that was taught towards me, I don't do it. You know what I'm saying? I don't do it to them. And I don't know why is that. I think I really don't know what that is though. Why, you know what I'm saying? I kind of lean back a little bit more leaner.
It's a generation thing.
Right.
You know,
I agree.
Where it keep, you know, if my mama believe what her mother taught her. So when I came along, me and my sister and brother, it been taught to us.
Right.
So that almost like a generation. I'm not gonna say a curse, but you know what been put in place from family, and it, you know, start coming down. You know, it almost like if you talk about generation curse, are we gonna keep doing this, or? You know, I don't see the need to do this anymore, you know. And that's how it is with me, because you can look at Christmas where they'll tell you you need to take down your Christmas arrangement before a certain day, you know.
Yeah.
On the sixth, you can't wash clothes or mop the floor or something like that.
Hey, so, I kind of believe still on things like, for instance, don't go... Like, I take the Christmas tree down as soon as Christmas over with, because I ain't want to have bad luck for the next year.
Okay, it did say bad luck, too.
And doing, you know, New Year's meal, make sure I have some greens.
Don't let a woman come in your door first. Don't let no woman enter in your door.
What?
For New Year's. Yes.
Come on, this is
you
my
ever
first
heard
time
of that?
That?
Yeah.
If for New Year's, you don't, I mean, that's what I'm telling you. You don't want no woman entering into your door. I'm thinking New Year's. See, I didn't really try to keep up with it, but I had aunts, my mama's sisters, they remind you, girl, you better not mop that floor. You better not, Lord, don't let no woman come in your house.
What they say? what they say if a woman do come in the house first?
Yeah, you ain't gonna have no luck all year long. Yeah, everything gonna go wrong.
And I know with my mom, she used to always tell us to make sure that there isn't any dirty clothes in the house on New Year's Eve. You cannot go into the next year with dirty clothes in your house. It's bad luck.
That bad luck too?
Yeah.
Well, y'all had a whole
But we had to wash all our clothes.
Mm-hmm. And you think they just they use that so y'all can just get stuff done?
Well, that's a possibility.
No,
when you think about it, possibility. But I really believe that being that it's been passed down, you know, elderly people, like my mom, I believe a lot of stuff that she said, she really believed it.
Mm-hmm.
Whether I believed it or not, you know, she believed.
Yeah.
So we acted upon what she wanted out of respect for her. And like Miss Barbara said earlier about, you know, having respect for the elderly people. I know when I was coming up in my household, you know, that was the number one thing, having respect. I have never disrespected my mom because, see, I already knew what my mom could and would do. See what I'm saying?
Right.
She didn't play with us. And there was a saying that she used to always say, and I never understood it until I became an adult. She used to tell us, if you run your mouth after I tell you to be quiet, you will be finding the hole that the carpenter left. I was like, what in the world is she talking about? The hole that the carpenter left. Couldn't find out. She's talking about the front door and the back door.
Oh, that's what she was talking about.
As when I got older and I asked my oldest sister, I said, what did mother mean when she used to tell us if we disrespect her, we would be finding the hole that the carpenter left? She said the front door and the back door. And then I'm like, oh, that's what that was. You know, so.
Hey, I'm going to tell you, my son, he got this bad thing where when you're talking to him and he disagreed with what, you know, like he disagreeing with what I'm, you know, what I'm telling him, or he don't like what I'm saying. He be mumbling. Man, I'm they're ready to do something to me every time. Like he be like just moving his lips.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Mumbling. And I be wanting to, I think somebody, I remember I used to do that. I think grandma, I did that to grandma, and she took my lip and just pinch it and mash it together and twist it. I'm be for real, man. I really miss them. I miss them days. Just being around. Like for me, just kind of coming up, you know, what family was to me. You know what I'm saying? Like cousins was like brothers.
Right.
You know, we fought, we play, you know what I'm saying? But you better not mess with not now cousin.
That's right.
I'm gonna tell you that right now. And the food, I remember used to going up to grandma's house, man. They used to, even though one of my aunts used to burn the bottle of them cake every time and the biscuit. I ain't gonna mention her name. But guess what? We still ate it though. I probably just used to burn it every time. I don't know why she used to burn it. But she used to burn it every time, man. But Lord knows. And we all used to eat together.
Yeah.
Used to eat together. And I guess, I'm going to tell y'all something real funny, man. My son, I went to go, he had to get his hair cut yesterday, right? So he got his phone taken away from him. And so I told him to go ahead and wait in the barbershop, like, you know, Justin going, you know, call you up. So go ahead and wait in the barbershop. And so he was like, Dad, like, I ain't got no phone. Like, well, I'm going to just be just sitting there, just looking at people, looking goofy. I said, well, like, what you need a cell phone to be sitting down for? Like, you need a cell. He's like, Dad, but everybody else going to be on their phone, and I'm going to just be looking stupid. I said, so you can't live without your phone?
Wow. And that's a
world?
Lot of young kids.
That's
you know,
the world
they,
we live in.
That's right, the world we live in now.
And I'm going to be honest. For me, because the cell phone been kind of a habit thing, like, I get my phone, and then I forget my wallet.
Oh goodness!
I'm dead serious. You know what I'm saying? Like it's bad. You know, I, and I'm embarrassed to even admit that.
at technology.
Technology. Mm-hmm. It has its pros and cons. Its pros and cons, man. Like for instance, with y'all grew up without, I grew up to a degree without cell phones, mm-hmm. technology and stuff like that. Right. So I know how to have a conversation with, you know what I'm saying, people, you know. But like my son, he suffered from like this social anxiety thing. Like you know, like he don't know how to talk to people. I don't know what that, honestly. I just think that one of the side effects of just being immersed in his cell phone.
Right, and that, mm-hmm. that's what it is. He's, you know, the technology has taken over.
Yeah.
You know, if he could just get out and without the phone and just, you know, socialize and be around people his age and do things with them, you know, have fun, then that could be the first step moving from all that technology.
Right.
Now, I'm pretty sure he'll still use it, but probably not as much. You know, he's not going to have the desire because he's going to be thinking about, oh, I want to go do this again. I want to go do that again. Mm-hmm. But we got to have some responsible adults out there that's willing to get these kids and take them to do things. You know? Take them, show them how to fish. Show them how to whatever, you know, the guys do, you know. I know what girls do. You know, I know how to start one and get a group of girls and show them how to cook because that's what I do.
Hey, you might need to put that together.
Yeah. Seriously. And, you know, just doing little things like that, you know. But I really think it would be a great idea if someone could just start, buy some land, start a farm, and show these young guys how to work a farm.
Mm.
I really believe that you will see some changes in the kids.
Yeah.
I really believe that. It is so interesting and it is so fun working on a farm. It really is.
Somebody told me that was a lot of work.
It is. It's a lot of work, yeah. It is.
It will condition you. I mean, yeah. Getting up early in the morning and tending to the crop.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it may seem a lot to people now. But back then, it was not a lot.
Yeah, it wasn't a lot. And I used to love getting up, jumping up. Oh, I go feed the chickens, you know. Get the feedings, throw out there to the chickens. Here, a bunch of them come run to that one little spot.
Yeah.
You know, and that's what we did. You know, I didn't like getting eggs because I was scared to get eggs, to be honest with you. Because, you know, sometimes they'll peck at your hand.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't like stuff like that, but... I used to like to feed them. I used to like to feed the hog, slop the hog. I used to love slopping the hog. Bob, you ever slop a hog?
Mm-mm.
I used to love it.
I was scared of them.
They were inside the pen.
I know.
I used to throw the food over the...
I know. we had... My granddaddy had hogs, and I wouldn't even put my hands on them, to be honest. Mm-hmm. But it was fun watching them We even named them, you know. We named their holes.
And kill them later.
Yeah, they kill them later.
Kill them, need them.
But getting back to Bryson, Lisa mentioned about, you know, going fishing and stuff like that, and I know that you traveled to that concerning with Bryson. But this the thing is, you and Bryson.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you would have to, in order for Bryson to come out of that shell, you would have to get some more young men to go along. Because you going with him, he see his father and son. But if you get some more young people that would like to go fishing, you know, I think that would be a way to get him to come out of that little comfort zone that he in, that shyness that he in, where he'll be surrounded by other guys, you know, even girls. Girls like fishing too. I mean, in my family, yeah. I got cousin. They got to go fishing every week.
Yeah.
They say it kind of a form of meditation. You know, going out there, going fishing. But I really believe if you get some other young men to go fishing and stuff, you know, that would help Bryson out a lot. instead of just taking Bryson, you know.
And I would like to add that when you do that, make sure some of the young guys that you take are guys that he know. You know what I'm saying? Make sure he knows these guys. Like, tell him two or three of your friends from school. Okay, ask their parents, can they go fishing with us?
Right.
Stuff like that.
Yeah.
Guys that he hang with at school.
Mm-hmm.
And just take him and let him be himself. Let him just have fun. And I guarantee you, you won't just be helping your son. You'll be helping somebody else's son too. Yeah.
That's good. Mm-hmm. That's something that I'm gonna put in my notes to do, because you know, with these kids, man, sometimes it's just hard to connect with them sometimes, especially. Cause they got their own mind, they do their own thing and stuff like that. And some stuff I just, you know, I personally being honest, transparent, like some stuff I just, like I was in the sports, my son ain't really in the sports. So it's like I gotta find other ways to connect with him. You know what I'm saying? It been like a little struggle now.
Yeah.
Been a little struggle just to find things to, you know, person to connect with him.
Mm-hmm.
Do you ever do like a family talk night where you can just sit down, maybe 30 minutes, twice a week, where you can just sit down and talk with him and find out what's going on with him, find out things that he would like to do that he hasn't done, you know, any issues that he's having, you know, y'all can talk about it.
Yeah, but he don't necessarily really, like, certain things, like, I kind of have a conversation with him and allow him to be open about different things, but the thing is, he don't know what he really like, because we went fishing, and of course, we didn't catch anything, he just kept saying it was boring, he really didn't want to do it, but basically, we went anyway, and I said, well, we're going to go again, and we're going to find a new fishing spot where we can, you know, we might have better luck. And he was like, man was talking about it yesterday. He said, Dad, I don't really want to do that. Because he told me he don't really like it, like fishing.
So you changed the game up.
What do we like?
He don't know what he like. He liked the video game. He liked to play on the video game, but I'm trying to find other areas that he's interested in. Like, I know, he was kind of doing the band stuff, but then, you know, like I seen, and he mentioned one time about acting. You know, I had wanted to try to get him at the little theater so he can kind of learn how to, you know, I guess act or whatever. But then he was like, nah, Dad, I ain't want to do that. But I'm like, you mentioned that one time before. So what I'm realizing, recognizing is, because he don't really know, I'm just putting him in the stuff. And even though he probably, like he don't want to do it, we're going to find out, you know what I'm saying? Like, I'm making him do it. Because that's one of the things that I realize now, as a father, like, I was giving my kids choices growing up, you know what I'm saying? Well, you want to do this one. And I thought that was, like, pretty good, you know what I'm saying? But then I realized, like, it's not, like, you have to literally make these kids do it.
Yeah.
And then, you know, later on, you know what I'm saying, rather they love it or they don't like it, you know what I'm saying, they'll let you know or whatnot. But, like, that's kind of what I'm doing now. Like, I'm making him do other stuff, you know what I'm saying? Because at first, with my daughter, I gave her certain level of choices. And now she wish she would have did some of this stuff. Now, like, I did put her in volleyball. She did cheerleading. And then as she got older, she just wished, you know what I'm saying, like she would have stuck with it. And I feel like, personally, I should have made her do it. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And then, because as she got older, now she like, I wish I would have stuck with that, Dad. And so now, since my son a little younger, like now I'm just really putting him in the stuff and I'm making him, just make him do it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, simple as that.
And then, like you said, that y'all say you told him y'all was gonna do it again. He don't really want to do it, but this time when you do it, invite family members.
Okay.
You got, you know, Dee Dee, her husband, you know, bring along, you know, their two kids or whatever. All of them we have fishing pole. You know, sometimes with these kids, they like to see you daddy. You daddy. See auntie cut up, you know. Then you got cousin may cut up that may have him laughing and he looking at what they doing, calling themselves trying to catch a fish and being all dramatic about it. So it'll kind of open him up a little bit, you know. See, by him just going with you, he feel like it's boring. But bring some more people involved.
Okay.
And I guarantee that you will see a different thing with him. Because, you know, even with me, I know he loves seeing me around because Mama Cherry gonna act up a little bit, have them laughing, saying something crazy or whatever. But so yeah, change it up a little bit. Don't change the plan. Stick with it. Take them again, but invite other people to come.
That's good. Now I'm, you know, pivot a little bit because I said that just looking at the time, we still got a good bit of time left. Though I want to kind of pivot towards like God, like how, you know, back in the day, y'all, you know what I'm saying, y'all did church and stuff like that, man. But you know, as of now, a lot of people don't. I mean, not only a lot of people don't believe in God, they just really ain't. They just ain't going to church either at all, you know what I'm saying? And so I don't know what took place from back in the day. And I'm going to say, when I say back in the day, like maybe the 80s, because that's what I, you know, that's how far I go back, like the 80s. Like back then, you know what I'm saying? Like I was, you know, church was a big deal. Like I ain't going to use church, but like, you know, just serving God in a general. Now, growing up, now I always noticed the women, you know what I'm saying? I always went to church, mostly than the men. And as I got older, it's still the same way, you know what I'm saying? And somebody told me, and I don't know how true it is, but they said men don't be going to church because they can see through the BS of the pastor, and women don't normally can't see that. I don't know how true that is. I mean, I'm a man, so at some point in time, like, you could kind of, as a man, you really can, though, you know what I'm saying? But, depending on what church it is, but, yeah, I want y'all to speak a little bit about, you know, y'all faith and how it was back in the day and where is that now and what y'all see, you know, as of now. Like, you know, they even got to the point where they took prayer out of school. I think y'all president about to put it back in there. Put prayer back in the school. Mm-hmm. But that's what I read.
Yeah. Growing up in the 70s, we had to go to church. It was a must. In our household, we went to church. Back in those days, that's what we did. Our parents took us to church. They instilled in us the goodness of God. Okay. Once you teach a child something, it's going to grow up in them. So this is why my grandkids go to church because of me, because I know that's the right thing to do. I can help what path they take when they become adults.
Right.
But as a child, if you live in my household, you go to church. And that's how it was in my mom's household. And I think kids today don't go to church, or young people today don't go to church simply because they was made to go to church so much as a child. To in their mind, you're saying, when I get grown, I'm not going to church like this. So that's the mindset of a lot of young people, because my daughter stopped going to church because she said, I made her go to church so much as a child. So she just stopped going to church altogether. But she said she was sick of it. Okay, but that's her. That's her decision that she made. Right. You know what I'm saying? She made it as an adult because as long as she was a child in my house, she had to go to church. I think with a lot of people that don't go to church, it's because they got tired of it. They were made to go so much until when they became adults, they just don't want to go. I think that with that being said, I feel like they've gotten away from the religion part. And I think so much is going on in this world now. They just don't believe. They don't believe like we believe. The older people believe. They don't believe in that way because so much has been thrown at them. Mm-hmm. So many things have, you know, they've seen. These young people today have seen things that I never saw when I was growing up.
Right.
You know, the things that go in the household. I know I had a person to tell me one time. They said they knew all about, you know, sex because they saw their parents. They would peep at them
mm-hmm.
when they were growing up. So they knew. I didn't know peep at my mom and dad. I was scared. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
We just didn't do stuff like that. But see, their mindset, now they feel like because they saw these things going on, this is what they want to do. So religion is out the door for them. That's how they feel. They have no need to go to church. And a lot of young people feel like they don't have to go to church because God is everywhere. I've heard them say that. And he is everywhere. But we all know that we need to go into the household of God to fellowship. To keep that strength going. But a lot of people just believe they can stay in their homes and serve God. But the Bible says go into the, come together. We got to come together.
Right.
You can't come together in my house. I can't come together in your house. Mm-hmm. So we need, there's a building called a church that we go to come together and pray for one another. And that's what I think, that has happened to our young people. They just got tired. They was tired of going to church. They was raised up in it. They don't want to see it no more. So they just leave it alone. And the church is full of women. I will say that you was right. The church is full of a lot of women.
Right.
More so than men. And I think because this is my opinion. I think we got more women in the church than men because women are the leaders, really.
I
think so. You know, they are the leaders. We are the leaders. So that's why you got more women. I just had to throw it in there. But yeah, you know, I love church. I was raised up in it and I still love it. And yes, there are more women than men in the church.
I feel like it's something different although you feel like women are the leaders, and I ain't even gonna lie, even with my wife, I call her the boss lady, you know what I'm saying? Cause, you know, she feel like she the boss. And she, I mean, you know, and for the most part, she do kind of run certain things. I see mom, you know, I call her the boss lady, you know what I'm saying? Because how she keep things going.
Mm-hmm.
And one thing about women, I realize they really know, y'all know how to multitask. Man, you know, we only could be focused on one thing. I'm horrible at multitasking.
Mm.
I just can't do it. But but yeah, like, you know, I truly believe when a man, when kids kind of see a man, you know, go to church and like worship God in such a way, I think it have a profound effect on the rest of the household in a sense.
It does.
You know what I'm saying? Like, that's just me, because I think it's showing them how to worship God. And it seems like kids normally kind of look up to their father in this, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that's the reason why I just said that. Like, I, you know, that's why I kind of noticed. What about you, Mama Cherry? Like, what, you know, growing up, what was church was like back then?
Well, growing up, in the household with my mom and dad, they never went to the same church, But the kids always went to church with the dad, with my dad. My dad, we always went to church with him. Once he passed away, it seemed like my granddaddy kind of took up that role where all the grandkids around about my age, all us used to go to church with granddaddy. It was when I was coming up, it was never going to church with my mom. It was always either my dad or once my daddy passed away, it was my granddaddy. My mama ended up, and she was in the church, but she just went to her family church. And I think, you know, with being around my granddaddy, and I mean, we was all used to be pushed to be on the mourning bench. If you know what the mourning bench is.
What's the mourning bench?
Tearing, you know. You want to be saved. So you
That's old school right there.
Yes, that's old school. And I'm telling you, it'll be about 2-3 nights. Mm-hmm. You know. Mm-hmm. You down there on your knees, you know, calling on Jesus. But I'm guilty of what Lisa was saying, you know, being in the church. After I got older, now being a teenager, now I kept going to church, me and my cousin. But as I got grown, I kind of back away. Then kind of in the midst of me having my family, my kids, I started going to church. But I didn't stick. Like up to this day, I don't go to church like I should. But I love the Lord.
Yeah.
I pray. I do my fellowship. It ain't that I be going in the house of the Lord, you know. I listen to Bishop Jones.
Noel Jones.
And but yeah, I'm guilty of going in the house of the Lord. And it just seemed like I wanna know where to go. You know, you know, what church to go to. But even in the midst of me wanting to know where to go, I don't lay down and not, you know, communicate with the Lord. I still talk mm-hmm. to him. I still pray, you know, pray to him. I praise him. So I'm guilty of that, of not, you know, being in the house of the Lord. But yeah.
I know you said that you just having a hard time finding the right church.
Mm-hmm.
It is a lot of churches.
It's a lot of church
around here, and I don't even really necessarily have advice for that because there's so many different churches and is it certain specific that you're looking for?
I really don't know. Cause I feel like if you know, some people be saying, you know, I want to be comfortable. It ain't that I want to be comfortable in the church, you know, because, you know, being comfortable in the church, may allow you to oversee things.
Right.
You know, I mean, you know, you see something right there in, you know, and it may not, it shouldn't be all right, but being that you comfortable, it would be all right, you know? So I don't want to be in a church where I'm so comfortable. I want to be in church where, you know, the word going forward, I want to be fed.
Right.
You know, I want to work in the church. I want to, you know, be a part, you know, be a part of a church.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. And I did find a church in Hartsville that I really, really enjoyed, being a part of. I don't know.
Okay.
And with today's, it's a lot of
Wickedness.
Yeah, it's a lot of weakness, but a lot of people don't believe. You know, I done seen a lot of shift, you know. And even though I'm not a part of a church, I know I love the Lord and I know he's real. But some stuff them, you know, kind of broke my heart of seeing how things going in the world. Even when I hear people, you know, that I might communicate with so strongly and know that, you know, they were living a life of praising God and, you know, fear God, that, you know, you would sacrifice, you know, for your happiness you know, just let everything you, I'm not going to say the person don't love the Lord. But it is so strange how some people will lay it down. And it's scary because that's who, I mean, we might have each other, but God knows we need God. We need him.
That's right.
We need him. I don't care what kind of backup we have or what kind of money we have or what we have going on. We need him every day, every second. You know, we look around, we see people today and they gone tomorrow. And that's, all I want is to have my business right when he come for me. You know, right. When he come, I want my business to be right with him. So, yeah.
I would like to say something on that, about all the churches that are popping up here and there. I've realized from talking to different people, a lot of people feel as though if they start a church, it's going to take care of them financially. That's the mindset they have. It's nothing geared towards the Bible for them. It's a money thing. And they see so many prosperity preachers out there, and there are a lot of them. And if you notice, if you sit up and you listen to a prosperity preacher preach, he never tells you what you need to do to be saved. If you ever pay attention to one, listen to one, he's never talking about coming to the Lord, giving up the sins of the world. That's not what they talk about. It's always a money thing of what you can do to help the church. It's never anything geared towards the Lord per se. Okay. I've listened to plenty of prosperity preachers, and that's what they're called because they're doing it to prosper themselves. You know, anytime a pastor tells you you have to put X amount of dollars into his bank account, he ain't thinking about God. He's thinking about what you can give to him so that he can go get what he want to get. You know, and a lot of people go to these churches and they won't admit to it, but they're giving their entire paychecks to these pastors. And the pastor and his wife is living better than you living. Your lights getting turned off, but their lights ain't getting turned off because you don't pay their light bill.
Yes.
You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
You can't feed your children or your grandkids because you took your check and gave it to the church, the pastor, and his wife. You can't drive a decent car because you had to help buy them a car.
That's on a whole nother bill.
Yeah.
If you think about it, I ain't even gonna lie. I guess that's some of my frustration with some of these churches around here is, you know, it started off one way, but when it comes down to that financial part, like, you know, they kind of dig a little deeper and they be trying to get as much money as they can get out of people, you know what I'm saying? And that's a skill, boy, like just to convince somebody to, you know, to get this, give this amount of money, or we need this right here. Well, listen, that's a skill. Like, that's a car salesman skill.
That's right. That's right.
People like that, man, I just feel like they, and they taking advantage of people because they using God mm-hmm. as one of the things where they can, you know what I'm saying, get stuff out of people. Mm-hmm. And they using God, man.
They using God, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? For his name's sake. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? And the most important thing is salvation. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Because money, it provide a level of, I remember when I first bought my house, and I'm going to use it as an example. When I first bought my house, and I was so happy, you know what I'm saying? And then 3 months later, I was like, what next? You know what I'm saying? Like, so it's like, for me, that's exactly how I feel about sometimes when you get into these churches and stuff like that, and you get involved, it give you this little feeling, this euphoric feeling at first, you know what I'm saying? And then you be like, you know, I guess you. I would say this: you will have to, and this is for you too, Mom. Like, I feel like you have to go to church for about 3 months, mm-hmm. at least 3 months. You know what I'm saying? Just to kind of get the feeling and stuff. You trying to get your headphone right?
I got it.
Oh, you got it, because I think.
Yeah, I've seen my ear.
Oh, okay. Ear. Yeah, but I ain't even gonna lie. Like, we almost
3 months. You say go to church.
Yeah, I feel like at least 3 months so you could kind of see certain things. Okay. You know what I'm saying? And get the feel for the people, the pastor and stuff like that. Because sometimes at first, you know what I'm saying, they just really trying to pull you in and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. But I'm going to tell you, man, sometimes you can kind of see the business side of the church sometimes.
Yeah.
And that's what I feel like. It's corporation. You know what I'm saying? Like any other corporation. But this corporation, for this corporation to run, we need your money.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And not only that, they're not putting ATMs in the churches.
Oh, Lord, yes.
Yeah, some churches they are, yeah.
Yeah, they're going to make sure they get your money. But, you know.
And that's what I'm saying. Even back then, coming up in the church, we need to be soul winners. Mm-hmm. Where are the people, you know, where they out there working for the Lord, you know, trying to win souls. I mean,
not asking you for that. Money. They're not asking for give me some money, give me some money.
We need that more.
Yeah, you know, it's you're supposed to be winning souls for Christ. That's the main thing. That's what He wants us to do. And on something you said, Miss Barbara, when comes down to looking for a church, and you, let's say you go to this particular church, your mindset should be on listening at what that pastor is teaching, mm-hmm. you know, and seeing, you know, just seeing what he's talking about, because God would show you mm-hmm. if something wrong in that pastor, he's going to show you.
Mm-hmm.
He is going to give you some kind of sign that pastor is not right.
Right.
We can go to a church and we can listen to different pastors. I'm speaking for myself. I can tell when something's wrong, you know, and I thank God for the pastor that I have, because mm-hmm. I know that he's teaching straight from the Bible.
Right.
And Bible said, you know, you have to read the Bible for yourself to show yourself approved, you know what I'm saying? So with that being said, you got to know the Bible for yourself, too. You got to study yourself.
Yeah.
You would know when somebody trying to pull your leg.
Mm-hmm.
You would know. Trust and believe, you would know when someone is saying something that you know that does not align with the Word of God.
Right.
And there are a lot of pastors out there that, you know, what they're talking about just does not align with the Holy Bible.
Yeah.
Right.
And that's when, like I said, you got to study it for yourself.
And this the thing, even the churches that I visit, I can't say nothing bad about them.
Mm-hmm.
It's not them. It's me. I take full responsibility of me not going to church. It ain't the churches that I visit. I can honestly say I can't say nothing negative about mm-hmm. the pastor or,
right.
or how they, you know, go about. And the churches I visit, I enjoy myself. I enjoy the word coming forth, you know. I take full responsibility of my action. It don't have nothing to do with the church, to be honest.
Yeah. Yes. I ain't even going. Hey, you, sir. Yeah, I guess you played because we didn't came kind of closer to our time. But any final remarks, man? Because I got to have y'all ladies back on the show again that you want to give. Like, any final remarks about, you know, just life, whatever. What y'all got?
I would say, you know, if you in search of something, if you're in search of you have questions in your mind about anything, you need to find someone that you can talk to, anything concerning your children, religion, whatever, anything that we talked about today, you need to find someone that you can confide in and talk with and get that closure on whatever you need. You know, and
good, that's good. Listen, man, I appreciate y'all from staying tuned and listening and everything else, man. I thank my guests, Mama Chariot and Aunt Lisa, man. They was awesome. They provided a whole lot of information about their back in the day, and I love it, man. Listen, I believe it might be a part two because I want to dive a little deeper on some other things that y'all mentioned. But until then, man, we out.